Alrighty. Hey, if you guys were here last week, you recall that I started off with a great, funny, bomb joke. Remember that? Oh, it was awesome. But hey, you know me. I care about everybody here and not just certain hair colors. Okay? I want to be fair. I want to balance it out. So that's right. This week, hey, man, I'm going to share a smart blonde joke. That's right. Listen to this one, Bill. This is incredible. And I didn't pick you for no reason particular at all. I'll tell you what. That's right. Anyway, so get this. One day, there's this blonde lady and she had finally had enough. Maybe it was last week's sermon, Ken. Put you over the edge. She had enough, man. She was tired of everybody assuming she wasn't smart just because of her hair color, right? And so she decides she's going to do something about it, man. So she goes to the hairdresser, and she has her hair dyed brown. Yeah. And so that's right, Marcia, she walks out of the beauty salon. She's feeling quite proud of her new look, and she decides to go for a drive out in the country. And well, after a while, she's driving out there, she suddenly comes upon this shepherd. And she thought, man, this is for sure. This is the perfect opportunity to test out her new look and demonstrate her intelligence to everybody. So she walks over to the shepherd, and she asks, hey, if I can guess exactly how many sheep you have, can I have take one sheep for a reward? And the shepherd, he thought, for sure, man, there's no way this lady is going to guess the exact number of sheep he's got. So he took her bet and he decided to give her a try. But get this, man, to her surprise, she amazingly guessed 98, the exact number of sheep that he owned. So she's feeling really good about herself now. She decides and she goes and picks up her reward and starts walking back to her car. But before she got to her car, the shepherd tapped her on the shoulder and said, hey, lady, if I guess your natural hair color, can I have my dog back? Oh, yeah, balance it out. Woo, yeah, I did not score points on that one, but man, was that funny. Here's the point, though. There's always a point with these things. Have you noticed that? Hopefully. Here's that point. And hey, folks, here it is, man. No matter what that lady tried to do, no matter how she tried to conceal the truth, she was still having a problem recognizing things right before, right? Okay, folks, one last time, believe it or not, she is not alone. Many people across this world are also having a problem recognizing things right before their eyes, except it's not from recognizing a sheep from a dog. It's from recognizing the signs of the end from God. And because of that, they are going to be catapulted into the 7-year tribulation. They are running the risk of being left behind. And folks, as we've been seeing, the time of tribulation is not a party. It is an outpouring of God's wrath specifically on a rebellious and wicked world who refuses to bow a knee before Him. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said this. He didn't just talk about heaven. He talked about this time. He said it's going to be a time of greater horror this world has ever seen or will ever see again. And that unless God was merciful and He shortened this time, the entire human race would be destroyed. But praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. What is He? Praise God, we're the beneficiaries of it, folks. He is a God of love. And because He loves you and I, He's given us a heads up. He's given us tons of warning signs so that we would know when the tribulation was near and when Christ's second coming was rapidly approaching. Therefore, to make sure that you and I, one more time, recognize the signs from God so we are not left behind, we're going to continue one more time in our series, The Final Countdown. The 10 sign on the final countdown, as we saw, was the Jewish people. Number 9 was modern technology. Number 8 was worldwide upheaval. The 7th was the rise of falsehood. Then number 6 came the rise of wickedness. Number 5, the rise of apostasy. Then we got really specific with the 4th sign, the one world religion. The 3rd one, the one world government. And last time, if you were here, we saw the 2nd sign was the evidence of a one world economy. Do we live in those days? It's happening all around us. We're actually numb to this one, folks, big time. And what we saw is God out of love. He doesn't have to give us any indication. He can just show up and say, it's too late. You had your chance. But out of love, God gave us a sign. He says, when you see this worldwide economy being developed, which is happening right now, in fact, it's already in place with a universal banking system and a push for a universal currency, God says, you better wake up, Christian and non-Christian, because you are living in the last days. But one last time, folks, that is still not the only signs that God has given us to wake you and I up before it is too late. The number 1 sign, the final sign on the final countdown is the mark of the beast. The coming, folks, is coming. The mark of the beast. And the first end time prophecy concerning the mark of the beast is the Bible said there's going to come a day when there is this worldwide, not just authority, not just economy, not just worship of the Antichrist. There's going to come a worldwide identification mark of the Antichrist. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. We're going to read a couple passages here. Revelation 13, and then we're going to pop over to 14. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18. If you find a dictionary, what do you do? Hang on, mumble on that one. You'll always get it right. Mumble's working. It's awesome. I'm telling you. Revelation 13, we're going to read verses 16 through 18 about this mark. Okay, then we're going to pop down to Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11, and look at the penalty for receiving this mark or identity of the Antichrist. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18 is where we're going to start. Here's what he says. Here's the mark. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a what? A mark on his... Here's, you talk about specifics in the Bible, folks. Where's it at? You got two options. The right hand where? On his forehead. Why? So that no one, you're excluded, no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Now go down to 14 verse 9. Here's what he says. Here's the penalty if you do that. A third angel followed him and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and what? And if you receive his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's what? His fury, his wrath, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be what? You're not getting to heaven. You're going to be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And then he says, the smoke of their torment rises. How long? It is not annihilation. You're going to be there forever, just as heaven is forever. The smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for who? For those who worship the beast and his image. For anyone who receives the mark of his name. Folks, according to our text, I think it's pretty obvious there really is coming a day when this whole world, the whole world of unsaved people, is going to be deceived into receiving a mark on their body, specifically where? In the right hand or on the forehead, that actually represents the Antichrist himself. One day, the Bible predicted 2,000 years ago, the whole world of unbelievers is actually going to be unified with this identity, with this mark of the beast, the Antichrist, that is actually going to seal their fate for eternal destruction. But the question is always this, hey, come on. John wrote this thing 2,000 years ago. I mean, come on, surely we got plenty of time here. I mean, come on, can that really happen? Could the whole world really be deceived into receiving this mark of the beast thing? Is there any evidence that's taking place today? Folks, it's already happening. And the first way we know people will soon, very soon, folks, be receiving this mark of the beast is because the justification is already here. The first way we know people very soon, folks, are going to receive the mark of the beast is the justification is already here. If you were here last week, we saw, folks, this is what's different. Scoffers always say, oh, you Christians, come on. How many decades have you been saying Jesus is coming back? And you're wrong every single time. There's nothing different with these times. Are you kidding me? As we saw last week, folks, for the first time in man's history, we already have the technology. We have the means to literally control and monitor the whole population of the planet. That's what's different now. But stop and think about it. That's not all you need if you're going to have to pull off a worldwide enforcement of the mark of the beast. You not only have to have the technology to pull it off, you've got to have the justification for it. I.e., you've got to have people convinced this is going to be a great thing to do, right? But the question is this, wait a second, how in the world are they going to get people across the world to actually think that? I mean, come on, that's crazy. Nobody's going to do that, right? Well, folks, crazy or not, it's called conditioning. We are already being prepped to receive the mark of the beast. The first way we know people right now, folks, are being prepped to receive a microchip implant is because they promise to make our lives so much more pampered. Isn't that what life's all about in this garbage can? It's all about being pampered with all the latest pleasantries in life, right? Here's, if only, guys, if only we would receive a microchip implant. This is some of the great things we could receive if we do just that. And this is current technology, folks. This is not science fiction, every single one of these. You can have tiny cell phones implanted within your bikinis. I don't know, to order a hot dog on the beach or something, but hey, that's the cool thing. You can have t-shirts implanted with internet links. That's right, show all your friends where you've been. You can have baby nappies or tennis shoes implanted with tracking devices. Never lose sight of Junior, no siree. You can have implanted jackets to wear that allow you to switch on the TV, check your phone messages, or even tell the oven to start cooking a meal. Hey, times of everything. Hey, you can have implants in your house to customize anything from temperature to even background music. Oh, it's awesome. You can have an implant right now in your car to access the internet or pay for toll charges, gas, or even food it to a drive-thru. And that's right, you can get an implant with television. I'm not making this up. You get it with television sets that eject artificial sense when different advertisement scenes are being viewed. They're actually working on this, folks. I kid you not. So like if you're at an ocean scene, it squirts up this ocean smell. Hey, folks, it's all about getting your cash. I've been telling you for how long? That's right, Lon. TV stinks, doesn't it? Okay, it stinks for a whole different reason. You just wait, folks. I'm telling you, it's coming down the pipe. Hey, you can have an implant that sends brainwave patterns and converts them into signals to operate your electrical appliances. Apparently, fingers aren't any good enough anymore. They've been doing this for decades in the Air Force with operating the machines there, folks. Hey, you can have an implant that acts like an intelligent shopping agent who will know everything about you from personal quirks to shoe size and will search instantly anywhere in the whole world via the internet to find you the best deal. Oh, if you just get that implant. And that's right, you can have an implant in your fingertip that will transfer all your vital personal information via handshake. I kid you not, folks. A digital authentication law has already been passed through Congress, giving these, quote, electronic signatures, that's what they're calling it, the same legal status as if you wrote your name on a document. It's almost like it's being planned to be put into place. But here's the point. Come on, guys. Come on. This is the garbage can. Isn't this what it's all about? Wouldn't it be cool to fill our lives with such creature comforts as that? I mean, come on. Wouldn't it be cool to receive a microchip implant? That's exactly step one of what they want you to think. In fact, it's so cool. You're getting articles that are saying things like this. This is an actual article. Second, listen to this. They say, hey, guys. Talk about convenience. That's what life's all about. How would you like to avoid waiting in lines for the rest of your life? Breeze through everywhere like you own the place. Watch lights snap on. Doors open automatically. Money pop out of ATMs as you approach. Hey, you never have to show an ID. You never have to buy a ticket. You don't have to carry car keys, remember a password. You'd leave the stores loaded with packages and waltz right past the registers. You wouldn't even have to carry a wallet, ever. Family and friends could find you instantly in a crowd. Why? Because of where? How? Because of these latest injectable devices. They've taken things a step further. Here's what's next. I approach my car. Who knows who I am? The door swings open and the driver's seat and the steering wheel automatically adjust to my usual settings. The radio starts playing my favorite station and then a speech unit offers to navigate me to Heathrow. As I board the plane, a sensor in the aircraft door activates the chip and tells the onboard flight system who I am. And it says, welcome. Seat 4A is ready for you. This flight is worth 450 air miles. I arrive in New York. I hire a car which also recognizes me and adjusts accordingly. The hotel room unlocks and bills me as I enter. Room service arrives automatically and stocks the fridge with my favorite items plus extra items that I usually order. He says this, listen to this, none of this is science fiction. It is all possible using today's tools. It's just a question of connecting them together. Whew. Whoa, I tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but it sure sounds to me like we are being prepped for an invasion of microchip implants, because after all, they're going to make our lives so much more pampered. And isn't that what everybody wants? But that's just stage one. The second way we are being prepped right now, folks, into receiving a microchip implant is they promise them to make our lives not just more pampered. No. It's a rat race. Remember that? We've got to get stuff done. More, right? They're going to make us so much more productive if only we would get one of those great implants. Listen to this. This is current technology again, folks. You can have tiny implants in all manufactured items to create a self-managing intelligent supply chain that will track all products from the factory to the home to the recycling center. Can you see Walmart? They're already doing it, folks. Pay attention. It's all over the place. You can have tiny implants right now on all luggage and packages to ensure their exact whereabouts. Oh, airports are already doing that, folks. Check it out for yourself. You can have an implant for your restaurant employees so that when they use the restroom, it activates another implant in the wash basin to monitor whether or not they wash their hands and alert you if there's a need for disciplinary action. Wait till you see a video clip coming up pretty soon. It is moving to your workplace. You can have an implant for your employees to monitor their location, who they're with, timekeeping, efficiency, and productivity. Come on, man. Wouldn't it be great? You can have an implant to act as an internal alarm clock that determines how much sleep you can get. That's right. You can have an implant to constantly monitor your bodily functions, such as your pulse, your heart rate, sugar levels, etc. You can have an implant to connect yourself directly to the computer. People are already doing that all over the place. You can have an implant to send an electrode to your brain, to send another electrode to a former paralyzed limb or muscle. Oh, I mean, that would be incredible. You can have an implant to connect to the eye, and it will provide sight for the blind. Oh, it's so good. And you can have an implant, I kid you not, to extend human intelligence or memory. Oh, come on, people. Get with the program here in this garbage can. Who could not use one of those memory implants? Right? I mean, I could save a marriage. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, come on, man. Aren't you paying attention? Wouldn't it be not just cool, but man, wouldn't it just be flat out constructive if we just got one of these microchip implants? We get so much more work done. That's exactly what they want you to think. But that's still all. Here's where it's getting closer. The third way we're being prepped right now to receiving this implant. It's not just make your lives more pampered. Not just more productive. Oh, come on, man. We're going to be so well protected. They're going to watch out over us. You're going to have nothing to fear. Let's take a look, folks, at what you can do with current technology. So we'll be so much more protective. Let's take a look. You can have an implant right now for your pet to make sure it never gets lost. How many of you guys already have that in your pet? It's all over the place, folks, okay? Hey, get that. It's moving to people, by the way. You can have an implant in your car that will automatically alert police when it's stolen and pinpoint its exact location. You can have an implant to instantly find people involved in airplane crashes or other natural disasters. You can have an implant to instantly alert you if somebody's body temperature has changed, like from they fall in the water or they fall into a fire or something. You can have an implant put on nuclear devices, machines, or dams to give advance notice of impending danger. You can have an implant put in businesses to instantly alert you if there's a break-in or somebody's tampering with your stuff. You can have an implant to monitor and pinpoint all that missing livestock. Never again. No siree. You can have an implant to automatically monitor parolees. And come on, we got to save prison costs, right? Let's keep track of those people. And you can have an implant to find out if that Alzheimer's patient has wandered off. Don't worry anymore. No siree. And you can have an implant to locate that lost or abducted child. Come on. Folks, I don't think you're really getting into this thing. Don't you realize what's going on? I mean, come on, who would not want to have their loved ones, their property protected at all times? I mean, wouldn't it just be common sense to get an implant? One last time, that's exactly what they want you to think. In fact, folks, in light of the terrorist attacks at 9/11, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Why, don't you guys know we got to have a microchip implant? Everybody from the highest levels is promoting it. Let's take a look at some of the people who think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Hey, Dr. Peter Zhu, chief scientist of Digital Angel. Here's what he said, direct quote. A few years ago, there may have been resistance to these implants, but not anymore. He says, no, people are already getting used to having implants. A new century, new trend. This will be very, very popular. 50 years ago, the thought of a cell phone where you could walk around talking on the phone was unimaginable. Now, they're everywhere. He says, in the same way, just like the cell phone, Digital Angel will be a connection from yourself to the electronic world. It will be your guardian, your protector. It will bring good things to you. We will be a hybrid of electronic intelligence and our own soul. But he's not the only one. Andy Rooney said on 60 Minutes, folks, we need some, direct quote, some system for permanently identifying safe people. Most of us are never going to blow anything up. And there's got to be something better for one of these photo IDs. Direct quote, he says, I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me. Wait a second, folks. Did he really say that? Yeah, he did. Watch this, folks.
Something has to change, though. They have to find a better way to identify the bad guys, or the rest of us are going to stay home and watch the world go by on televisions. But we need some system for permanently identifying safe people. Most of us are never going to blow anything up, and there's got to be something better than one of these photo IDs, a tattoo somewhere, maybe.
The Saudis used an American device to scan the eyes of travelers.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
Well, isn't that neat? Oh, but he's not the only one, folks. Get this, John Walsh from America's Most Wanted said, quote, direct quote about implants. It's a brilliant idea. I wish somebody would develop it. Because number one, time is crucial when a child is missing. And you can locate them by this chip. And even if you weren't lucky enough to locate them, finding the body is crucial for two things. The one, the ending of the search for the parents. And two, helping the prosecution of the case. So I hope somebody develops that in my lifetime. Good news, John, it's already here. But he's still not the only one. Direct quote, Scott McNeely, CEO of Sun Microsystems, said this. They're going to slap that baby's bottom, then slip an ID chip in their neck or between their shoulders so you can keep track of your kid. Oh, but folks, he's not the only one. Believe it or not, of all people, Roger Ebert talked about the same coming reality. Watch this.
Sometime in the next century, because computer chips are getting smaller and faster, and eventually the time will come when a child is implanted with a little chip back here, and will learn to control the chip in the same way that you learn to control your bodily functions and your voice and your movement.
Roger Ebert is talking about implants? What? Why don't you stick to movies, buddy? But he said that. If he knows that, what is going on? What's really going on? How far has it really gotten? Folks, I don't know about you, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I say somebody's just a little bit serious in our days of implementing what the Bible called 2,000 years ago the mark of the beast. When you're of that generation and you are living in the last days. But that's only step one. The second way we know people will soon, folks, be receiving this mark of the beast. You don't have just a justification. The willingness for people to want it, it's already here. Stop and think about it, folks. It's a two-step plan. If you're going to deceive this whole world into receiving a mark of the beast, then you've got to have not just the justification for it, you've got to have the willingness for it, right? You've got to have people who think, man, this is great. I'm going to give it a try, right? Well, guess what, folks? It's already happening. For the first time, this is what's different. For the first time in man's history, people are lining up by the truckloads to receive a microchip implant. In fact, it's so popular, why, it's become a family affair. Wouldn't you guys like to do this on a Saturday afternoon? Check this out, folks. It's already happening.
A procedure that takes only seconds to carry out.
And the chip is now extruded, and we're finished.
Has turned the Jacobs family into medical pioneers. They are the first people to get chipped, implanted with a tiny device called a Verichip that emits radio frequencies. It's a personal ID that also contains vital medical information.
It can save a lot of lives, including my dad's, because he has a lot of medical problems, and I wanted to be around for a while.
A handheld scanner reads the Verichip. Theoretically, police, paramedics, and hospital workers would use the information during an emergency. Thousands of Americans are already lining up to get them. And Applied Digital Solutions, the company that developed the Verichip, says this might only be the beginning.
Company scientists are already working on a global positioning system, similar to what you'd use in your boat or your car, but to track people. And like the Verichip, it would be small enough to implant in someone.
Caught some sunburn, I guess.
Nathan Isaacson's in the early stages of Alzheimer's disease.
I couldn't find my way home. Kind of an embarrassing moment.
He already wears a beeper-like GPS gadget and was also injected with a Verichip. Implanting both devices would give him and his family more peace of mind.
Okay. Yep.
And that's it.
So how did it go?
It's a piece of cake. There's virtually no pain.
And Nate can't wait to be chipped.
I'm ready.
And you? I know you're ready.
Definitely ready.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the peace of mind.
Second. Yeah, you saw what I saw, Gary. That wasn't just the implants people were receiving. Where was that one going in? Yeah, you guys are hooked on thumbs. Oh, come on, Pastor Billy. I'm telling you what, we are going to ban the deacon from Lockport. This chicken thing you're throwing on your front porch is really freaking you out. You know what I'm saying? We are just going to keep them away because now you're really starting to freak me out. Is that really happening? CBS News is reporting it. Aren't you paying attention to what's going on in the garbage can? Folks, this is what exactly is going on. Not only, here's the point, folks, that's just the tip of the iceberg. See, that the conditioning process is working. It's working. And we're so much more pampered, we're productive, and oh, we're so protected. And forget this implant. Not only are families and Alzheimer's patients, here's the point, willingly receiving implants. Get this, a recent poll on MSNBC said 20% of people right now in America are completely willing to get one of those implants, and it's growing. 20% right now say, yes, this is awesome in America. But folks, maybe, wait a second, you're thinking, hey, wait a second, there's just no way. Wait a second, what about those people who are not willing like me? What about those people who are going to say, hey man, you ain't putting nothing in my arm, I don't care what benefits you say there are. Well, folks, you'll be happy to know they've already thought of it. They've got all bases covered. They've already got that plan figured out. You see, here's what's happening. If you don't want to take one willingly, they're going to make it a necessity if you want to keep your job. Don't think so? It's already moving into the workplace via the employer. Check this out.
There's my chip right there.
So you can actually see it.
It's about the size of a grain of rice, and it feels like it too. But what that tiny chip can and can't do has become the source of much concern and confusion.
I was in a grocery store, and a couple ladies said, hey, you're the guy with the chip in your arm, aren't you? You know, run across the scanner so we can see if it gets a discount on groceries.
Sean Darts is the CEO of CityWatcher.com, a small company in Cincinnati that's the first U.S. business to use chip implants in its employees.
What you're looking at here is recorded footage back in August of a number of drug deals.
CityWatcher provides video surveillance for clients and for the police. And the video that it collects, like this drug bust, is the company's biggest asset. And they say they need to keep it under more than just lock and key. Chip implants have been common in pets for several years, giving the owner peace of mind that their lost animal could be identified. And for retail giant Walmart, the chips are used as smart barcodes to keep track of thousands of products. But for use in people, well, privacy advocates think we shouldn't open that door. Like it or not, we're in that brave new world, and it might not be long before your boss is literally getting under your skin. Daniel Seaberg, CNN, Cincinnati.
Oh, come on. That's got to be the ultimate implant pun. Did you guys catch that? It might not be long before your employer gets under your skin for a whole new reason, literally. Wait a second. You mean to tell me, Pastor Billy, if I am not willing to get a microchip implant, I might still have to just to keep my job? Hey, it's almost, Christina, like we're getting boxed in. That's the kind of the conclusion, I think so. But that's still not all. Get this. They've covered all the bases, folks. They've had a long time to think this baby out. You see, if you're not willing to get an implant, and if you are willing to lose your job over it, it might soon become mandatory to get one. You don't think so, folks? Then why is our Congress having discussions like this? Watch this one.
And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
I think the real concern that most people have is that, you know, at some point the government would say, line up and get your chip.
Oh, come on. Not in America. Hey, that guy was elected as our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. They predicted he's going to rule on it before his 10 years up. I wonder how much time he's got left. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of thinking that somebody, this is what's a little bit different about the days we live in. Somebody's just a little bit serious about implementing this mark of the beast thing. How about you? When? The Bible said you're going to see this when you are that generation, when you are living in the last days. And get this, folks, what's really interesting is how many of these microchip implants that they're wanting you and I to get this, they have a unique power source which just happens to recharge itself on the fluctuation of body temperature. And it just so happens that one man who worked in the biomed field for 32 years said, quote, over $1.5 million was spent by our government to find the two places in the body that temperature changes most rapidly so they could develop a power source out of it. And can anybody guess, after $1.5 million, where the best two places on the body are? Direct quote. In the forehead, right below the hairline. And in the back of the hand. Wait a second. Lillian, that totally makes sense. Because you moms know. That's the old-fashioned way of checking temperature on your kids. Whoa. People of God, you better wake up. I wish I was making this up. If you are here today and you are not a Christian, you need to get saved, and you need to get saved now. Why? Because tomorrow might be too late. And if you're here today and you are a Christian, then one last time, get motivated and live for Jesus. And I will say this is a warning, a heart warning. If the last 10 weeks on this study on Bible prophecy has left you bummed out and freaked out, it shows that something is wrong with your heart. Why? Because the Bible is clear. As a Christian, we should be longing for His appearing. Not running from it. Not scared of it. Not hiding out from it. We should be longing for His appearing. Do we not realize, Christian, that one day this world is going to blow sky hard? Then where do we get off acting like this is all there is to life? Do we not realize that Bible prophecy and the book of Revelation is a message not of fear, it's a book of hope and of victory? Why? Because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and one day He's coming back to get His bride, the church. We win! Therefore, we are going to conclude our series on that note of victory, and we're going to take a look at the rapture, but this time from God's point of view. You better get ready, folks, because it's coming a whole lot sooner than you think. In fact, maybe from God's point of view, maybe He's on the backside of Jupiter, headed this way, and He's going to be here real soon. You think I'm kidding? Folks, if you're saved, we're going home. And it might look something like this. Let's watch.
I hear a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpets. Gabriel sounds the call. Let the midnight arrive. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call His children.
Well, hi, this is Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and hope you enjoyed today's sermon. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Well, before you answer that, let me share one final thing with you. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. The Bible says that all of us, including myself, have fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sin is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. And since we have a problem, we don't want to admit this. God, out of love, sent us something called the Ten Commandments, His law, to show us that there's no way in the world that we could ever make it to heaven on our own. Let's take a look at a couple of them. The Bible says that you shall not lie, ever, not once in your life. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Well, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just proved my point. That would make you and I a liar before God. The Bible says you shall not steal. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've taken something, even once, in our lives without permission. That makes us a thief. The Bible says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And now the Lord's name has become a cuss word. We've broken that. The Bible says that makes us a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. If you think you're going to get to heaven on your own, you shall never do that. But hey, you might think, well, that's a piece of cake. I've never done that one. Really? Jesus said, if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery in your heart. One more. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might say, hey, no problem that one. I've never done that. Really? Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, it's the same as murder in His eyes. Folks, that's just 5 out of 10 commandments. How are you doing? You're going to tell me that you're going to stand before God and you really think He's going to let you into heaven and He's going to ask you, hey, who are you? And you say, hey, God, let me in. By your own admission, I'm a lying, thief, blasphemer, adulterer, murderer. Let me in. Folks, God's not going to let you in. We don't deserve to go to heaven, folks. We have broken God's law. We deserve to die and go straight to hell. Here's the good news. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So He's pardoned you for your crimes. He wants to get you off a death row. And just like in real life, a person can get off a death row if they receive the governor's pardon. But just like in real life, a governor could write the pardon, even though the person is guilty of their crime. He could write the pardon and say, you don't have to go to the death penalty. But if they don't receive that pardon from the governor, they will still go to the death penalty. Folks, that's what God has done every day to everyone all over the world. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in our place. And every day that a person is alive, God is reaching out to them, asking them, pleading with them, please receive my pardon for your crimes. Please don't go through with the death penalty. Hey, if you're here today and you want to make sure that you're going to heaven, you need to receive God's pardon for your crimes through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, then maybe you could pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I've broken your law. I am a sinner. I agree that you are holy and that I am not. And I'll never make it to heaven on my own. Please forgive me, Jesus, of all my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross and rose again from the grave to pay the price for all my sins. I turn from my sins today and I turn to you. I trust in you, Jesus, and in you alone to take me to heaven. Make me into the person you want me to be. I surrender this life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you really prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I want to be the first one to congratulate you. Welcome to God's forever family. But that's just the beginning. When a person first gets saved, which is just what happened to you, the Bible likens you as a baby. And a baby needs food, they need nutrients, they need somebody to care. And that's why something important you need to do now is to find a good, healthy church in your area who can help provide that nourishment for you. Unfortunately, not all churches are very good churches, so if you have some questions, then please contact us and we'd be glad to help you out. You need to get a Bible. You need to read the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find out about God and His wonderful plan and the reason and what He has planned and saved you for. You need to find it out in there as well. You need to pray to God. He's with you now wherever you go as His child. And prayer is not something mystical or magical. It's just simply having a conversation with God wherever you go. And finally, you need to tell somebody else about your new relationship with God and how that they can know for sure today how they can go to heaven instead of hell through God's pardon through Jesus Christ. Well, this has been Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If there's anything we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information, our contact information will be coming up on the screen here shortly, and we'd love to hear from you. Remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Thank you for watching this presentation from Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If you'd like to send us a letter or any other kind of postage, you can reach us at 5287 Bronson Drive, Lewiston, New York, 14092, or you can give us a call at 716-297-8783, or for email, office@niagarafrontierbible.com, or you can visit our website at www.niagarafrontierbible.com.